We're going to read a verse that sounds very normal.
And so I think that part of what we have to do is not skip the step of getting it into whatever words we need to get it into so that it helps get it into their hearts.
If the Book of Mormon was written for our day, why didn't they talk to us in the way we talk to each other?
I have so much enthusiasm for what you're describing, and I love it when we can help other people start to see the scriptures in that way. I love it because others have done it for me.
Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored, where we get to talk about how great it is to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard.
Yes, you
are. I said that very formal. I want it to be formal.
Really? You need to do it with an accent if you're going to do it formally, with an English accent.
Don't start the accent business. The accent business and you do not get along. It's just embarrassing. Don't embarrass yourself, Kevin. Don't do it.
You know, so once bad. I start, I can't stop.
I know. I'm not even going to allow it to happen.
All right. I won't go there.
Don't start the accent business. The accent business and you do not get along. It's just embarrassing. Don't embarrass yourself, Kevin. Don't do it.
You know, so once bad. I start, I can't stop.
I know. I'm not even going to allow it to happen.
All right. I won't go there. All right.
Thank you.
So we won't. Anyways, let's jump in and dive in and just get going. Are you ready, Julie?
I'm ready.
Do you have your scriptures with you?
Buckled in. Scriptures ready.
Scriptures. Alma 13, if you would, please. Yes. We're going to read a verse that sounds very normal. It's
normal.
It's very normal. It doesn't, I mean, it's not like, you know, there are certain scriptures which are more scripture mastery type scriptures that we go, oh yeah, yeah. You go, whoa, yeah, that was a really good point. This one, I don't think anyone will have remembered ever.
I'm scanning to try and guess which normal scripture.
Verse 30, the next to the last verse in this. Julie, would you read this, please?
I would love to read it.
Thank you.
And may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down his wrath upon you, that ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death.
Scripture mastery worthy?
I mean, there's a lot of meat in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good stuff in there.
Right. But we're, yeah, I mean, it's not like.
It's not like poetic, profound, kind of heard those things before, maybe a little, right?
Right.
Like, is that
right.
Kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think if anyone read that scripture that anyone would be able to say, oh yeah, that's in Alma 13. Because it's pretty, I don't want to say generic, but it's kind of generic, if you ask me.
I mean, I can see this. I can see, because we hear often in the scriptures, you know, may the Lord grant unto you repentance, like, yes, things like that, right? Repent.
Right. Okay. But let's dive into this verse.
I love it, because I can see some things to dive into.
Okay, good. That it's really broken up into four different parts, four different sentences, four different thoughts, if we can look at it that way. So, Julie, would you please read that first thought?
May the Lord grant unto you repentance.
Okay.
Would you include that you may not bring down his wrath upon you?
No, I would stop there for a sec. May the Lord grant unto you repentance. So my question for you, Julie, is I thought repentance is something that you do, not the Lord gives you.
Oh, duh, right? Like, we're thinking, why does it not say, may the Lord grant unto you forgiveness?
Forgiveness. Why does he say, what? What repentance? What? What? What?
You know what? Flip it. Tell me if this could possibly be what it means. This is my thought. I just kind of went, broop. That repentance is a gift.
Okay. And I agree with that. But isn't it a gift for everyone all the time?
Yeah. Grant unto you repent. You know what's so funny? When I first read it, I was trying to say your repentance. No. Oh. May the Lord grant unto you repentance.
So, but if repentance is something that everyone can do at any time, right? Because that's something that we choose. Why is he granting it to us? It's almost as if he would grant it unto some, but not to others.
Do you think, okay, I literally don't have any idea what you're like. I'm going on a journey. I'm getting my mind, my wheels are turning. So
that's
let me
exactly
just
process
out loud if that's okay.
Good.
Okay. So one of the things that it's making me think about is that we often have to be like, sometimes I kneel down, if I'm being honest, and I'm like, oh, repent. Okay. What do I need to repent of? Do you know what I mean? Versus, which, I mean, this whole new understanding and enlightenment by President Nelson about how repentance is a turning and returning our focus to Heavenly Father, right? And so thinking about it in that way, I think part of it is that we're granted the Spirit prompting us, nudging us toward, and maybe relationally being drawn to that relationship in a deeper way.
I like that a lot. Maybe? Yes. Yeah. I don't think there's one right answer. So
probably
I'm giving like you an A+ on that one.
Like,
yeah.
But the wheels are still going, Kev. The wheels are still going. Okay. I love it.
Good. Anything else you want to add to that?
Well, the other thing about this is like when you say the Lord grant unto you, I'm thinking about it being like bestowed upon or given or offered or something like that. And so in a way, I'm also thinking about the fact that I don't think that you think about how Heavenly Father doesn't necessarily give us more than we can handle in terms of knowledge, like that he wouldn't want to burden us with the accountability that comes with certain knowledge. Mm-hmm. I think that part of it is that he grants unto us this opportunity to repent because we're ready for it. Like that, it again is something that like is,
that's good.
You know, kind of, again, it's relational. It has to do with the relationship. And it's like, and you know, I'm going to offer this to you now because you're ready. Let's deepen this relationship. Turn to me. Let's connect on a deeper level. Maybe.
I like that. That's not one that I had thought of. I like that a lot. That he helps us prepare for that and be ready for it.
Yeah.
And does it only at a time when we're ready to do it. Yeah, that's good.
Maybe.
That's good.
Maybe.
Another one I thought of comes from a quote that I heard, and whether this is true or not, I don't know, but it's a good story. An older brother gets up to bear his testimony and he says something to the effect of, I have pretty much repented of all of my sins, minus the ones that I really like doing still.
That's so awesome. That is so awesome.
And so maybe this granting unto you repentance is having the desire to even want to repent of some of the things that you know you're already doing wrong.
Okay. I'm going to tell this story, just a really quick story. This is a true story. It's not hearsay because it was me. I remember literally, like, this is one of the most distinct experiences of my life where I was dating somebody that I knew I shouldn't be dating, but I stopped praying about it because I knew what the answer was and I didn't want to pray about it anymore because I didn't want to hear a no, because then I'd have to act on a no. And I really liked him and we were having a lot of fun. And I was old, so I didn't want to be lonely again. Mm-hmm. And I remember the damage that it did to my relationship with Heavenly Father. Like I started to gradually feel more and more and more distant. And it wasn't until I made the decision that I was going to sincerely ask with being prepared to act upon it that, and I, when I did, it was like, oh, boom, done. And kind of been waiting for that, you know, and here you go. And it was like, I just wasn't, and this is going to sound stupid, but it wasn't like I was sinning. I just wasn't ready to give my will over yet. And I think that that's part of what repentance requires, is giving our will over. And it's like that kid, sometimes our favorite sins, we're not ready, or our favorite, you know, comforting things, we're just not ready for yet. And so him granting unto us repentance in part has to do with that, the fact that like, we're ready for it.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
That goes along with what you were saying. That story. Anyway.
Thank you for sharing.
It was painful. It was painful.
Wow.
And then I met Todd.
And then you met Todd. And the heavens sang, the sun shone, and we're all good.
Yep.
Yep. I like it. Okay. Another thing. Think about this. Okay, if we go back to the definition of repentance, you talked about how mm-hmm. President Nelson talked and taught us repentance is a lot of turning away from, right? And so it's, if we think of repentance just as, say that again?
Turning away from sin, but it's specifically more about what you're turning to.
To Christ.
Which is the relationship.
Yeah. Thank you. If we think of repentance just on the surface level of, I need to pray and repent for the things that I've done, then this part of the verse doesn't make sense. But if we think about it on the turning away front, and that sometimes we're not ready, like you said, right? Gives it to us when we are ready. Sometimes we don't want to, and we have the heart of not wanting to. Sometimes we want to, but don't have the strength to do it.
Yeah.
To turn away and turn toward Christ.
Oh, that makes that really beautiful, actually, when you think about
it. Yeah,
yeah. Because then it's about the strength that he would give you to be capable of repenting. That's awesome.
Right, yeah. So that's, I mean, we could keep going on with this one little bit, I think, and I think we could really dive in, but it's, you know, when I first read this, I thought, okay, that's not exactly what I thought it was going to be. That's some great insight. I like that. Okay, then we have three chunks after that. All right. So he says, may the Lord grant unto you repentance. Why? There are three reasons. Let's talk about these real quickly. The first one is what, Julie?
That you may not bring down his wrath upon you.
Okay, Julie, when was the last time that you were in class and your teacher, whoever was teaching, said to you, I wouldn't do that because I don't want God's wrath to come upon you.
So this is like, this reminds me of like the Old Testament paradigm of God, right?
Mm-hmm. And this is during the Old Testament times.
Right.
Before Christ came.
Yeah, never. Nobody's ever said that. And I'm grateful that teachers don't teach like that. Let's be honest. Maybe it's because I'm a softie. Are we all softies because we don't talk about this like that anymore?
Yo, stop doing that.
Before the second coming, and that's vengeance and wrath and fire.
That's right. Yeah. Blah. Okay. Read the next one. Number two.
That ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell.
That's good.
Is that good?
I like that. Have you ever heard a teacher say that?
No, except I do really like the word bondage when it's attached to sin. I'm just saying that.
Yep. There's a whole bunch behind that. That's good.
No teacher has ever said that, nor have I said that as a teacher.
Right. And we really wouldn't, would we? No, I don't think so. No. I mean, just for the fun of it, maybe.
Maybe in primary when they're being really bad. I'm just kidding.
If you don't stop wiggling, you will be chained down by the chains of hell. That's right. And then the third one is what?
That ye may not suffer the second death.
That's right. And if you don't stop that primary child, you will be death by the second death. I don't know what that was, but okay.
I know what you meant though. I know, and the voice was good. The voice was really good.
Thank you. You do not want to suffer the second death, and you will if you continue this behavior, child.
I feel like you should be like in Star Wars or something. Like with that voice, threatening.
Maybe I should.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't want to be threatening. But those sound threatening, right? So what would we say instead of those three things? Let's take them one by one. What would we say for the first one?
Okay, so I remember when I was a little kid, my parents aren't violent people. They are not quick to anger.
No, they are not.
The worst punishment possible was my dad being disappointed in me. And so when I think about bringing down his wrath upon you, I actually think about like disappointment.
If we apply that to God, have you ever talked about how God may be disappointed in us in a class?
Yeah.
That's very, you know, that happens. We talk about how that's a very possibility.
Yeah.
When I first read this, bring down the wrath upon you, part of what I thought was that, you're right, like you mentioned earlier, that is an Old Testament way of talking about it.
Yeah.
And in our vernacular, we might also say that those are natural consequences.
I was just going to say that.
Don't.
Yes.
There we go, right? Because there are laws. And laws are, yes. and blessings are predicated sometimes on obedience. And and if we don't obey those laws, we either get, we don't get the reward, or we get a punishment, right? There's, you know, we're breaking something, there are natural consequences to it. And that is what God has for that law. And it's right. not so much that God is, well, from the way we look at it today, it's not so much that God is saying, you're bad and wrath is coming upon you. It's like, I created that law with these rewards and these punishments, and I kind of have to stick to that. That's naturally what's going to happen. Sorry.
Like, it doesn't it kind of make you think of good parenting? Like, it does make me think of good parenting.
100%.
Like, there, nobody can say that God has not been clear about what he wants for us, right? And nobody can say that he hasn't been clear about what he expects of us. Like, he's given us an example. He said, this is what I need. We have scripture. We have prophets and apostles. There is not a lack of clarity around both expectations and like his end goal. And so it's so funny that we would think that we would be exempt from the consequences, because we also know that God would cease to be God if he violated his own laws.
Correct. Yes.
And so when you started talking about natural consequences, I think that it's that he may not bring down, or that ye may not, not that he may not bring
That's
down.
That's a good distinction. Good catch there.
He may not bring down his natural consequences upon you, because he's attached big consequences to big important things, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, and he's not going to intervene in the consequences.
Right. It's more we are withdrawing ourselves from his grace. Right.
And I realized that I just said something that somebody could misinterpret when I said that he does not intervene in those consequences, because that's not 100% the case. I can't say that without sometimes there's, you know, he has his ways. But what I'm trying to make the point of is that when we talk about his wrath, we could just be talking about, in a way, the consequences that we bring upon ourselves.
Right. Okay, next one. How would we say that last one today? The second death.
That you mean the bound down by the chains of hell one?
No.
We haven't talked about
that. Oh, we didn't do that one? Oh, that was just the first one we were talking about the whole time? Holy cow. Yeah. Okay, let's look at the second one then. Yes. That you may not be bound down by the chains of hell.
This one, this is so clear to me in my mind, that you may not be in bondage, held captive by the devil in any way. Like, we don't want to give Satan victories.
Good.
And like, that is what he's saying. He's like, I want you to be repenting so that Satan doesn't have victories. He can't have a hold on you if you are turning to me consistently. Good. That's how I would have phrased that one.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. I'm with you. Say
you
that
are
again.
A slippery fish.
Yeah.
You become a slippery fish. Mm-hmm. He can't.
That's good. I the first thing I thought of when I read that and tried to kind of reinterpret this in a way was habits that we have, that we sometimes subject ourselves to bondage because of the habits that we have.
Totally.
Right. Bound down by those chains of hell. Yeah. Okay. The third one, that you may not suffer the second death. We wouldn't say that.
No, we would say separate ourselves from God.
Good. Yeah.
Right. And I would say that one of those things is that we think of that as an eventual destination, but I actually think that you may not suffer by degrees any element of separation from God, but instead that you might be moving towards him, which is the purpose of repentance.
Very good. Yes.
Maybe.
Okay. So my question for you is, if the Book of Mormon was written for our day, why didn't they talk to us in the way we talk to each other?
How would they have done that for every day? Like, this is timeless.
Then if they are speaking in their cultural language, are they really talking to us?
Absolutely. So, okay, let me process. Wheels are turning, Kevin. Hold on. Give me a second to think. One of the things that pops into my mind is the idea that principles are universal, they're timeless, and they're self-evident, meaning that they apply everywhere, at all times, forever. Like, They don't have only a specific time that they apply to. And I think that the scriptures were written based on principles, which means that they apply to every age. I don't think that the language has to be specific to that. And we still got the meaning.
But if you're teaching a class, let's say of teenagers.
Yeah.
And you come upon the phrase that that ye may not bring down his wrath upon you. Mm-hmm. Are they like intuitively just going to get that? Are they just like, no. Do they connect with that at all?
Great, great question. I hope what you are going to say, or if you're not going to say, I'm going to say it right now, that that's why you take them through the exercise that we just went through, that you don't want to just let those things hang out there and not ever bring them into language we can understand, right?
Right.
Okay, so here's, I have this thought really quickly. I'm going to just drop a little nugget in here because I feel like it's an appropriate place. I ran into somebody the other day who is of a different faith, and I've been really blessed to have some great interactions with people of different faiths and different faith leaders and stuff lately. And she specifically started talking about reading of the Bible and how we aren't allowed to read other versions of the Bible. And
that our church, members of our church, yes, are not allowed to read other than King James. Okay, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And I said, oh, that's interesting. That's not true. I said, I have Bible Hub on my, and I wasn't being defensive at all. We were having a really kind of back and forth. And she's like, well, aren't you? And I'm like, well, I have Bible Hub on here and I love to go and look at different translations of the scriptures. I said, we do believe the Bible to be the word of God. And we also believe that there are versions of it out there that are, you know, that have some misinterpretations and that, you know, we have to be really cautious about that. You know, the caveat as far as it is translated correctly was what I was trying to get at, right? But I said, oh, I love looking at some of these other versions just to help me better break down what is trying to be communicated and whether or not it feels like it resonates with me. That's fine. But like, we're hoping that people will understand the principle in whatever language they need to be able to get it into their hearts. And so I think that part of what we have to do is not skip the step of getting it into whatever words we need to get it into so that it helps get it into their hearts.
Good.
Does that make sense?
I'm really glad you said that and really glad you brought that up for this, the kind of the holistic point here. When I went through this verse, I kind of went through the whole thing that we just talked about, right? In my study, yeah. I was like, okay, well, what about this? Well, why? What would we say? And then my thought went to, why didn't the Lord just tell us it that way in the first place?
Right.
Why does it have to be almost cryptic? I mean, you know, if as you dive into the scriptures more and more, it becomes less and less cryptic. But someone just reading it for the first time, you're like, wow, that's kind of a little harsh there. Or youth may read that and go like, I have no connection to that, right?
Yeah.
So the thought that came to me is that Mormon and other Nephi and Moroni and whoever the others wrote it, was compiled. Then it was translated by Joseph Smith, translated from a language to another language, from the Reformed Egyptian to English. All right. Then we have to do another translation, a cultural translation, right?
Yeah.
And we have to do one more translation. If we just take it as it is, we go, oh, that's nice. And it's so easy to skim over this basic verse and go, oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, theoretically, in the back of my head, that's true. But when we dive in and we have to go through the process of translating it. If we just skim over it, we're not going to actually understand it for what it is. We have to take it to the next level and translate it culturally for ourselves. And it's not just, and Julie, you've had this before. You have probably said this before. I know I have, but it's not just, how does that apply to our life?
Right. Like, let's dive into what it actually means.
Right.
So that we can apply it to our life. We can't bridge the gap of the wrath of the chains of hell that you'll be bound by. How does that apply to your life?
Yeah. I you know, if someone said that to me, how does this apply to your life? Well, we want to repent so that we don't go to hell. Good. And we move on.
Nice job. Nice connection.
Got nothing out of it.
Right.
We need to go to the next level of translating it to our culture. which made me think that, wait a minute, God's okay with having scripture not tell us exactly what things mean or what's best for us or what? And then I think about all the different churches that take the New Testament, especially, I'll focus on the New Testament, and translate it in a bazillion ways. And they all fight against each other. And I've seen this so many times where they're like, well, no, once you're saved, you're always saved because of these verses. Well, no, because of these verses, that's not the way it is. The Trinity, because of these verses, no, because of this. Why didn't God, a perfect being, just tell us? What's your thought?
Okay, so I have like three. I want to back up just a second and make a comment.
Okay.
What you are not suggesting is that we do an updated translation of the Book of Mormon into man's terms. Just to be clear.
I am not saying that. Okay. And there is a specific reason that we'll get into why I'm not saying this, and that it's actually good the way it is. So, yes.
Okay, so that is actually my answer to the question, right? Because the question you're asking is, well, why not?
Right.
Right? Why? And why are they fighting? And why does God allow that to happen? Why does he leave room for misinterpretation?
Right.
Instead of just telling us in
exactly
what it means. And this goes back to, what was it? There was a conversation I was having with somebody the other day, and it was about work. I think it was a conference talk I was studying. I can't even remember. I'm literally blank as to where it came from. Oh, I know what it was. Conference talk we studied last week in Relief Society. We were having a conversation. It was Elder Uchtdorf's talk. And it's about the idea of putting effort into studying. And part of what I think is that we don't appreciate things that we don't put any effort into.
I like
and
that.
We don't we don't value them in the same way. Mm-hmm. And I also think that they need to speak to us differently because we are different. And so if it was crystal clear for one person, it might be muddy as all get out for another person. And so I don't think that there is such a thing as crystal clarity. And I also think, in the same vein, that we can't be held accountable for things that we don't understand. And if we're not ready to put in the That's effort, great. Or if we aren't, making, trying to dig, and then there's no need for faith. And we do need, that's part of the purpose of the Word of God, is to help strengthen our faith. And so I think that all of those things combined, not being accountable, wanting us to dig in, wanting us to strengthen our faith, are all really important facets of our spiritual growth and development.
That's great.
Would you agree?
Yes. So you hit on a number of points I want to dive into a little bit more. Okay. So one of the answers that I came up with was as to why didn't God just make it clear for us is because, and again, this is my interpretation, this is my answer for me, was because he doesn't care so much about the text. He cares where the text leads us. So what I mean by that is that his goal really is for us to come to him, right? And like you said, an interpretation this way may fly over someone's head or may turn, I don't understand, but someone else, it's going to be crystal clear. So if he said it one way, it's going to be messed up for someone else in a way, right?
Exactly. Okay. Hold on 1 second. Don't go get Addie. Just trust me. Just trust me. Don't go get Addie. My mom's getting her. Real life.
Real life.
Real life. It's happening right now. My mom's getting Addie. Okay. Sorry, honey. Thank you. I love you. And there we go. Okay. And we're like, and we're back.
Okay. So that whole thing right there.
Yeah.
So again, we are trying, the whole goal of Christ, of Heavenly Father, is to draw us to Christ. Mm-hmm. It is not to know everything. It is not to interpret things exactly correctly. Yeah. No. If we skipped all of that part, but still came unto Christ, golden star right there.
Right.
It is
Do you think?
Go ahead.
Like, do you think that there are people that can completely misunderstand the scriptures and still be close to the Savior?
100%. Oh my goodness.
Right.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that there are people who don't read the scriptures or even who are illiterate and can't read, who can have a relationship with Christ? Right. I mean, so as you're saying all of this, I'm like, we put so much weight into correct interpretation and, you know, being able to comprehend and understand. But like you said, it's not necessarily comprehending the words as it is comprehending the relationship.
Right. And I could just see, I don't know that I'm correct in this, but I could just see Heavenly Father say, I made this text imperfect on purpose so that you would go to try to find the meaning and in so doing, come closer to your Savior.
That journey is what he's most interested in.
I did it on purpose.
Think about the introduction to the scriptures where it talks about if there are faults and flaws, they are the faults and flaws of man. Well, I mean, Heavenly Father was heavily involved in the process of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon.
Right?
Clearly. And so why didn't he perfect it and make it great and take away all of their faults? And like, so yeah, I agree. Because he's more interested in the process of coming to understand and hear and being changed by it than he is in the actual words.
And that's my whole point.
I love it.
We need to get to the spot. And there isn't a spot. We need to come unto Christ. We can do that through the scriptures.
Yes.
But if we glide over the scriptures, if we just take a verse, and we could keep going with that verse and get even deeper, it's pretty incredible. But if we went, if we just glide over that verse, we're not going through the exercise that we need to come to Christ. So if we in our teaching are just gliding over scriptures like this and using it as a check, I read a scripture today, we're not doing the mental work that we need and the spiritual work we need to do the real thing that we need, which is to come unto Christ.
Exactly. I love it. Okay. So I was, as you were saying this, I started thinking about, like, I am very slowly going through the Book of Mormon right now. And I'm telling you, I am having so much fun. And I came across a verse like that the other day. And I remember, I mean, I spent my whole scripture study on that verse because I was trying to understand things like, okay, so I'll just give you the verse just so that you can kind of follow along for 2 seconds with me because it was kind of fun. In 1 Nephi 17, it talks, it's relating the story of the children of Israel being led out of Egypt as a way for Nephi to teach his brothers a little bit about how God operates, kind of.
Yes.
And he's talking about how he did straighten them in the wilderness with his rod, for they hardened their hearts, even as ye have. And the Lord straightened them because of their iniquity. And as I was looking at that, I was like, that's not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. And so I was thinking about the difference between straight and straighten, or straight and straight.
Straight and straight.
S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. Yeah. And so as I was kind of just looking, I mean, I could have just kept breezing past that. And so I went and I studied about the verb form of each of those words. What's the difference between it? And I was like, well, why didn't he just use the phrase, like the phrase that goes along with the actual word straighten, S-T-R-A-I-T-E-N, A-I-T-E-N, yeah, I spelled it right, would have been so much easier to just articulate right there. And I was like, oh my gosh, I learned so much from just taking the time to break down that little nugget. And it is so instructive in the context of what he's trying to teach his brothers. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I kind of do this too. You know, do I harden my hearts and then I'm resistant to just this effort, not to make things direct, but to make, anyway, I'm sorry. I'm totally going to go on a tangent if I keep going. I have so much enthusiasm for what you're describing. And I love it when we can help other people start to see the scriptures in that way. I love it because others have done it for me. Like it lights a fire in my heart and a love for the scriptures when I can figure out how to make them make sense.
Yes.
And then resonate.
Good. What you're doing, I have been doing as well. I'm in Alma 13. I've been stuck in Alma 13 for months now. And on this verse, I spent 3 days on this one verse alone, going through it, going, yes. Wow, look what's in here. And because of it, I'm learning things that, oh, I need to change some things myself. And how do I come closer to Christ, right? So again, my point is to get to the point through the scriptures, we need to actually dive into it, not just merely listen to, read. I think those are all good things. Don't get me wrong. I think listening to the scriptures, reading the scriptures, watching the scriptures in what other form, that's great.
Do whatever dive you can. Deep, yes, do something. Yeah.
The fire that, Julie, that you are feeling right now comes in from diving into it. And all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, I want to go read the scriptures because this is way cool. Yeah. And if we can instill that in the people we teach, holy cow, what kind of learners will we have helped create?
Yeah.
Oh,
I love it.
That is where the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is fire for me. That is where I want everyone to get to, and even beyond, where I don't even know, I know there are steps beyond. I don't know those steps. I want to get there. So,
well, and don't you think it's because others have done that for you that you even know that that's possible?
Yes. Yeah.
That's for sure how it's happened for me. I've watched and had people literally do that in a class before, which is part of what's instilled some confidence in me that I can do it in my own study. Or they'll even make comments like, I spent, 2 days studying this one verse. And I'm like, why? And then I'm like, I got to figure this out. I mean, talk about it. Like, talk about it in your classes. Be enthusiastic.
So my one thing for everyone is go do it yourself. Go do it with your classes. Dive in that much. And you will be amazed at not only what you learn, but also how you come closer to Christ and how you help your learners come closer to Christ as well. Oh, it's so
love good.
Thanks for listening, everyone. That's the latest. We just finished that episode right there. It's a little bit shorter, but that's okay. Go do what you need to go do and go act on what you learned today. Please go act and then help others do the same. Thanks for coming, everyone.
I love it.
Take care. Bye.
Thank
you for joining us for this episode on Teaching Restored. Now, us here, the team at Teaching Restored, we are here and it's our goal to help gospel teachers become more consecrated, more converted, more effective when teaching the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Our vision is to have this mass army of excellent teachers who go out and teach, whether it's a calling to teach or whether it's being a parent or whether it's a missionary or you're just a friend to someone. Really, in the end, we're all teachers, aren't we? The more we can help each other become better teachers, we're all teaching each other. I can see this great army going forward and laying the foundation for the second coming and helping more and more people accept the gospel of Jesus Christ deeper and deeper in our hearts. That's what our goal is. That's what kind of our vision is. You can help us with that vision by doing one of four things, or maybe even all four of these things. Number one, if you would, please share. Share the podcast, share the accounts, share an episode, an individual episode with another teacher, another parent, a missionary, someone learning the gospel and really wanting to try to learn, okay, how am I going to teach this to others? Share it with them. While you're there, please like, share, and subscribe as well. That helps bring up on social media and in other places for others to see. And then leave a comment. Tell us your experience. We'd love to hear your experiences and rate the show. If you're on a podcast, rate it and say, great, we love this. Or, Kevin, you have a little bit of ways to go. And we all know that. We can all improve, can't we? And then, of course, join us on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, YouTube, any of those. Join us there and watch our shorter snippets of content that we have going out. Thanks so much for joining us. We have loved this ride and we are excited to continue to do this even more, but we can't do this without you. If you would, please join us in doing these things. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.